Good afternoon, everyone. I don't know whether people are coming. It looks like they are. We've been asked to try and do this. I know we're starting late, but we've been asked to try and do this in 25 minutes to try and catch time up. My proposal is I might just set the scene a little bit, show you a few things that we're seeing around healthcare in terms of clinical productivity, mobility, and all that stuff, and then see if there's something where that goes and if there's things you particularly want to hear about or if you've got questions or feedback. Because one of the things that's interesting in Microsoft at the moment is Microsoft is suddenly quite interested in health at many levels. We've got a BAN, we've got a health platform, we've got a large number of products that are being sold into health. There are the senior leadership team working out what health looks like at Microsoft. So if you do have questions, feedback, thoughts, probably a good time to start sharing them. So I'm that guy there. I'm on the worldwide health team at Microsoft, based in Redmond. My accent is wrong, I know. I've been in the US for 5 years. 14 years at Microsoft, most of it in healthcare. And before that, I worked for the National Health Service in the UK for 9 years. I was a CIO at the end for two acute hospitals, two mental health trusts, as we call them, two community ambulatory care organizations, and my favorite thing in the world, 80 family doctors' practices, who were entertaining in every sense of the word. So I spend most of my time doing two halves of my job. First half is how do we help customers, partners, Microsoft guys understand the value of the stuff we do in health, i.e., sell and buy more stuff. And then secondly, how do we help our internal product teams and strategy teams understand what they should be doing for health? So there's a bunch of things that are starting to appear in our products that either coincidentally or deliberately are actually very specifically relevant for health. And I'll talk a little bit about that. Feels like we're filling up. I wish I'd brought a clicker, but I didn't. Welcome, everyone, by the way. Just to let you know, I'm going to keep this really relatively quick because they want us to finish on time at 3:00. If we get into questions and answers, maybe that might be more valuable for you guys. We'll kind of work that out. You guys have got a really hard job. It's a really hard place to be. If I think about when I was in the NHS, the National Health Service in the UK, we were dealing with somewhat of the same things. There was horrific cost pressures. There was massive demands on service. The service was becoming increasingly specialized, increasingly costly to deliver. We had this really, my chief exec of my board was brilliant. He used to start every board meeting with a phrase that says, "Let's be really clear, we work for the National Illness Service, not the National Health Service. We spend 3% of our money on health and 97% of our money on illness." Let's think about swapping that around. It's still the same proportion. It's a hard, hard, interesting world you guys work in. I'm guessing these things, because we're short of time, I'm not going to spend too much time on this, but these are things I'm guessing that you see. We're at Microsoft, this is the stuff we think about. We're not a healthcare company. No one goes to Microsoft and says, "Hey, give us a healthcare thing." Our partners and our solutions and the people we work with are the healthcare people that build on top of our platforms. But we know we can do things that either help that or hinder that. And we're trying to do as much helping our partners build healthcare stuff as possible. So let's. So you've probably seen these three things a lot. This is a gratuitous, we're streaming, aren't we? This is a very clever connection of Microsoft's big, bold ambitions into the world of healthcare. So we want to make sure that we kind of connect as much times as we can and in as many ways as we can to what you care about. And we kind of group them into the create more personal computing, reinvent productivity, and build the cloud. So let's just get onto this quickly, and then we'll get into the kind of the meat of it. Anyone disagree with these words in this trendy word cloud thing? Is this stuff that makes your life complicated and difficult? Yeah. It's a really interesting thing. So I'm on the global team, which means I spend lots of time with European customers and Asia customers and lots of customers in the US. The variety of progressions and developments around the world is so different. There are bits of the US that are doing incredible things in one area of healthcare, genomics, or for example. Then you've got Scandinavia that is literally, when they want to prove a concept, they just go and build a hospital to prove the whole concept. It's incredible what they do there. But then they miss a bunch of the other stuff that the US is really pushing forward on. It would be great, and I think we and other people like us should have a role in trying to connect those, to try and connect these dots in the world's health head. But I'm going to talk very quickly, and my plan is not to pitch you stuff. You get pitched all day. You've had loads of PowerPoint, I'm guessing, over the last few hours, days, weeks of your life. I'm going to talk you through more about what we've seen working in terms of clinical mobility and productivity. I'll tell you what works really well with customers, what customers have told us goes horribly wrong. Stanley from Allscripts can probably smile, agree, disagree with some of the things I'm about to say. Personal computing for us is all about delivering clinical mobility. We see, there's a phrase that we use, that there's more pilots in healthcare than there are in British Airways. Every pilot in healthcare often starts with IT, delivering a mobility pilot to IT, or, which is not a bad start, they're really friendly doctors or nurses. There's a really important skill. Whenever our partners are working with a healthcare organisation that's doing a mobility clinical productivity story or pilot or trial, if there are difficult doctors and nurses on the team, we have a strong level of confidence there's going to be success. If everyone is happy and it's all IT and happy doctors at the start, we have a much lower level of confidence of success. The salespeople for us are doctors and nurses in our organisations. I think it's so hard to get any of this stuff done without our clinicians caring. We have clinicians on staff in Microsoft. They approve everything we do. I know that I can't get anything to happen unless our clinicians say, yep, that's okay. So we sell to them internally. They then help us sell to everybody else. I'm sure by the fact you're here, you're already the more leading light organisations. I'm sure you guys have your clinicians as your sponsors, your sales guys and girls. It's really hard having people say, yeah, that's not going to work on day one of your project, but it's so much better than on day 180 of your project when you roll it into the real world. So we care about mobility. Mobility is an interesting thing. Does anyone know what the Epic minimum screen size is for devices in the last month or two? It's just gone to 27. That's an interesting definition of mobility. It's hard. When I talk to my colleagues who are kind of in the retail industry or the kind of manufacturing, or they say, yeah, it's great. Or retail, they say, yeah, it's great. We get a device. It's got a card swipe reader on it. It looks up a SKU in the store. Easy. It's really hard to do that in health. No body is simple. No physician is simple. No nurse is simple. No workflow is simple. Systems have to be complicated. But there is an interesting halfway house where you can start to drive real clinical mobility. And we're going to show you some stuff. And again, I had no idea Stanley was going to be here, but it's quite lucky because I'm going to show some of his stuff. That gives us an ability to give you some of that mobility in relevant workflows. There are a bunch of workflows that will probably never be mobile, arguably. But where it's relevant, how do you get to the point where you do mobility, but you don't throw away enterprise, power, scale, 27-inch screens when you need them? I don't want to get to show you stuff rather than just PowerPoint. We make no apologies for this. We are deliberately causing trouble in the industry by finding cool doctors and nurses who want to do interesting videos and interesting case studies and tell all of their peers that mobile devices from Microsoft can help them be more productive, more safe, more productive, or treat more patients or get home at night. I'll show this for a little bit. Has anyone seen this just before I do show it? So Brian, one or two, okay. So this guy's a cardiologist in California. He, in no way, shape or form, full disclosure, has surfaces across his enterprise. He's got some mobile devices. He's doing some cool things with it. The power we get when we show this to doctors and nurses, they literally will take it back to their organization and say, we want to do that. That's a cool thing for us. It's a cool thing for you guys who are trying to modernize your service. Again, using clinicians as sales folks. Let's see if this works. Yay.
I think the thing I liked about cardiology was the ability to really help people quickly. As doctors, the first thing you need to do, you need to understand what's going on. You need to look at their vital signs, their labs, what medications they're getting. You need to read the nursing notes. Having the Surface Pro 3, everything's there. The electronic health record that we use is called Allscripts, and what you're able to do with the Surface Pro 3 is above and beyond what you can do with the desktop application. So I can log into the basic electronic health record to look at cardiology imaging studies like echocardiograms or angiograms or EKGs, it's all straight into the chart. So I may be at one hospital, but I need to get in the EHR of the other. With my Surface, it's very seamless. So I can be walking around the hospital, going to see my next patient, pulling up their telemetry before I walk in the room. I can sit with the patient, have it in my lap, talk to them, do a chart review, and then I just pop it into the docking station and I haven't lost my place, so it's great.
Previously, her blood pressure had been more elevated and the last medication that was added to her regimen was amlodipine.
I used to walk out of the office with a fifth of my charts done. Whereas now, throughout the day, as I see the patient, I'm entering the data. And when I do that, I see more patients. That's huge. When you optimize your technology and you become more efficient, it makes your life better. I found the Surface Pro 3, and it was revolutionary for me.
So, as I said, it's by no means enterprise-wide, but it's a really powerful thing for a doctor to be saying that stuff. We've got loads of these. I'll make a really quick offer. If you have someone in your organization that is doing something cool with mobility in Microsoft, give me a shout. We can do those videos very, very easily. And if that helps you then do something new and even more interesting in your organization at a bigger scale, that'd be good. That's good for all of us. But think about what he said. So he was talking about Surface. Surface makes sense in some workloads. Actually, other devices make sense in other workloads. So has anyone seen this? So this is from GTAC. They make, when you see a police car with a device in the cockpit in the dashboard, they make most of those gray and black ruggedized devices. They've realized there's another industry that needs ruggedized devices. They made a white one. We finally now have a portfolio of devices from kind of $300 8-inch devices all the way up to $2,500 high-end ruggedized devices where you can actually start to deliver the clinical systems that you run today and their mobile other halves, their mobile apps and their mobile experiences on a bunch of devices that fit. So we have, Dell does this really interesting case for their, they've got a $200 tablet. They sell a $100 tablet case that goes around it that makes it ruggedized, droppable, cleanable with alcohol, $300. That starts to make clinical mobility a completely different proposition. It's not $2,500, $3,000 a go. It's 10% of that price now. So we're finally at the position where the hardware is really starting to catch up. The software is kind of getting there from Microsoft and from our partners. Windows 10 people like. And again, I'm going to slightly apologize. Think about Microsoft's model with operating systems for 20 years. People at home get the shiny new thing, come into enterprise and work and say, why have I got this rubbish old stuff at work? Windows 10 is going to help do that. It's good for us. Could be good for you guys. I recognize it causes disruption and a little bit of pain. But as Joe talked about earlier, 110 million home users are now on Windows 10. 10% of the world's employees work in healthcare. There's 11 million healthcare employees now got Windows 10 at home, broadly. They're going to start putting pressure on enterprises and their clinical systems and their organizations. And we have a bunch of partners who are doing some really cool stuff, and I'm sure Stanley would love to talk, and I'll show you some stuff rather than just PowerPoint. Oh, I'll show you the same video again. Let's not do that. I really am going to show you the next video again. Hang on. You would imagine I'd know how to use PowerPoint. Oh, really? Okay, sorry. Apparently I've forgotten how to use PowerPoint, which is ironic. Please jump past. Okay, give me a second. Thank you. So has anyone heard of OneView? Anyone doing anything with OneView? OneView do really cool stuff. Really, they've just done the Benioff's hospital in San Francisco, UCSF, the kids' hospital sponsored by Mark Benioff. They do bedside tablets that do two things. They do patient education, they do Skype, Netflix type entertainment experiences, but they also have this really interesting back-end infrastructure that connects you to the clinical systems in the hospital or the healthcare system. So patients get a great experience on a device, and then there is also the ability to connect it into all of the other enterprise systems, whether that's meal ordering, whether that's scheduling, whether that's physically just browsing into the clinical system so that the clinician can grab it, use it, and show the patient something. They are doing incredibly well. They are picking up hospitals in Australia, all over the US. If you're thinking about trying to increase patient experience, really interesting organization to work with. And the nice thing is, they're not going to do that thing of, we do everything, we're not going to let you do anything else. They will connect to the other infrastructures, other applications in your organization. So I'm really conscious because they want us to finish on time and we started really late. I'm going to try and show you some stuff instead. Is that okay, rather than just PowerPoint? Cool, you get enough PowerPoint here. So I'm going to do a few little disclaimers here. What I'm about to show you is 100% fake, but it is a selection of screen captures of some things that are 99.9% real. It's really hard to build an enterprise demo where we've got multiple people talking and collaborating. You've got to build all that infrastructure and set it all up. So we did all that, and then we just did a bunch of screen captures to bring it together to make it easier to do this. Everything in this demo you can do today. We have healthcare customers doing it, not necessarily all of it. Different customers doing different bits. There is only one thing that's not real, and I'll show you. It's a part of the Allscripts bit at the start, and I'll show you what it is. And maybe Stanley can talk about the future. Really quickly, we know that ambulatory care is really, really important. We know that the world is driving to as much ambulatory care as possible for lots of good reasons. But this is Nurse Laurie. She's got a fitness device, she's got a phone, she's got a brand new Windows 10 device. And I'm going to take you through just some bits of her day, not a whole day, we haven't got time. I'm just going to show you a few things that try and show you what this could look like in health and what health could look like with modern technology. So this is really cool. This is a Windows phone. You've all got Windows phone, I presume? Yeah, no. This also works. This is CRN. This is all the stuff. You'll notice we are a very different organization, probably even from last year, if you came last year. A lot of the stuff we're going to show you works on lots of different devices. Some of it is Windows, some of it isn't. I'll show you a bit of everything. What's the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning? Check your email, yeah. So I do Facebook and then email. She's really good. She's an amazingly dedicated nurse. She goes straight to her CRM system and looks at her patient visits for the day. And she can see she's got all of these patients, and she's going to see her first one is Jo Healy. She walks over to her home PC, which is all beautifully connected securely back to base, opens up CRM. And we had an internal debate about this. Do we show a futuristic fake clinical system where everything is perfect and all information from every part of the care spectrum is all brought in? Those things will exist at some point, but they're going to be a while away. Let's make this realistic. Let's make sure that people realize that you are going to use different systems. So she opens up her patient list. She opens up Wand from Allscripts. So this is Allscripts Windows Touch application. Connecting to the same back end as all the other Allscript stuff. She does a couple of things. So she scrolls down. She looks in her CRM system that she's going to go and see Jo Healy first. You can see in Allscripts, he's also got Jo Healy. And then, I told you this whole thing is fake, but possible. She then realizes she doesn't actually know anything about Jo Healy. So Jo opens him up in Allscripts, has a quick look at what his conditions are, sees he's a diabetes patient. And then we thought a little bit about how do we make this a little bit more interesting to clinicians to watch this stuff. So clinicians are all about voice. They love dictation. They love narration. They love the ability to dictate straight to the clinical record. We show that later. But we thought we'd challenge them with some other ways of thinking. So you'll have seen the demo about Cortana earlier. So I'm going to say, hey, Cortana, remind me to call Neil about the new protocols at 10 a.m. And again, I'm not going to pretend it's real. We just
sure thing. That. I can remind you to call Neil about the new protocols at 10 a.m. today. Is that right?
Yes. Now, note there is no PHI data in that Cortana request at all. We understand patient data can do some. We can do some things with patient data, and we can do other things where we can't touch patient data. Cortana cannot currently do patient data. It's not a BAA. We can't sign a BAA around Cortana. We can't do any of those things. Lots of the other stuff, we can do a HIPAA BAA, and all of the stuff we're going to show you is all in a compliant way. We found a non-patient scenario where you could do Cortana. And again, think of this. This is an opportunity for us to get doctors and nurses to think, oh, there's different ways of interacting with technology and being clinically productive.
Okay, I'll remind you.
Thank you.
You can see it in the notebook anytime.
So Nurse Laurie drives the patient home. Were you all in Joe Belfiore's session earlier? You saw Windows Hello? Is anyone a clinician in the room? Is anyone a clinician? I should ask that first. No. Do your clinicians really enjoy username, password, logon experiences? Anyone? No. It's hard. There's kind of two models. There's either loads of usernames and passwords that they all hate and write down, or you've spent loads of money and complexity building solutions and infrastructures to hide the fact there are loads of usernames and passwords across the enterprise. That's kind of the two models that there is. Joe talked about Windows Hello. Every time we show Windows Hello, be careful with showing this to you because you'll kind of get your hand bitten off by clinicians who want it. Windows Hello is a really, really powerful way of starting to think about different ways of using technology in health. So this does a facial recognition for Nurse Laurie. I'm not Nurse Laurie, we faked it. Did Joe talk about twins? I missed the last bit of his presentation. Okay, so Windows Hello, we are doing all of the certification work that you need to do for these sort of things. We're doing all the financial levels. We are also going to be doing the healthcare stuff to go with it. There's a journalist in Australia who saw Windows Hello and thought, I can beat that. He wrote to the national database of identical twins in Australia, bought a load of them pizza, stuck them in front of Windows Hello and said, beat it. And they didn't. It did a few where it didn't log anyone in, but at no point did it do a false positive where it logged the wrong twin in. So we are really, really confident. We're continuing to engineer to get this to the levels of certification and compliance that you all need, and we're working with. But again, show a physician the ability to do non-touch login in half a second to any device. They start to get really interested. But it's only part of the story, because health is complicated with lots of different applications. Hello is great for getting you into your machine. The most important bit, and this is the only thing that's not real, but at some point might be, Stanley. So she then opens up Allscripts Wand again on her mobile device. And this is Microsoft Passport. So this is the same concept, but instead of getting into Windows, it's getting into your application. So the application is using Passport services to do biometric logon. So for example, if I was about to prescribe a controlled drug, wouldn't it be great if Passport could do another quick check, make sure it's still me and I'm still the right person and I'm allowed to do controlled drug prescriptions without thinking about it, without the user having to log in and do all that sort of stuff. And again, you can kind of do this today, but you have to buy lots of hard third-party complicated stuff. This now just comes as part of the platform. I'm going to show you one other thing. Actually, I'll show you a little bit of some of the experience of a modern clinical system. Let's do that. So if you think, there we go. And I'm skipping around it just because we haven't got time to do the whole thing. But if you look at recording clinical vitals, they get a really nice experience. The cool thing that Allscripts did was there is also a, you can go kind of legacy mode for the clinicians who are not quite convinced about this whole new look and feel thing. You can pop it back to a bunch of tables that looks really like the way it used to look or the way it looks on a classic desktop system. But as you can see, and again, we have this all clinically reviewed, so it's all, it unfortunately means you have to sit and watch it all happen because it has to be clinically correct, otherwise we have no credibility, and our physicians on the team help us do that. A little bit of handwriting recognition coming up in a second. Here we go. Has anyone done handwriting on Windows? Anyone done recently in the last 5 years? No. You should really give it a go. If you've got hold of or have access, actually, your bunch you've got Windows, got Surface Pros, have a go at the handwriting recognition. I always say it's not magic, but it's surprisingly good. At HIMSS, we always hand devices over to physicians, say, have a go. And they're always really skeptical, but pretty quickly you get a, do you know, that's not bad. And if you think about what they're doing, most of the time they're filling in forms, they're doing drop-down lists and check boxes and tick boxes. Actually, a pen for doing that, and then a bit of annotation where they either annotate or they do handwriting recognition. And again, writing does not have to be perfect. Not magic, but it is better than most. In fact, it's better than everything, anything else we know out there. And there you go, you see it translated it up to the top. I'm going to do one last thing, and then we'll... Oh, yikes. So, I presume no one in your organisations has ever sent an email with information in that they should not have done. I'm sure none of you would ever let that happen. It's never happened anywhere in healthcare. I'm with you. Hypothetically, if it could have done, I want to show you kind of where we're starting to see some really interesting, there we go. some interesting developments that compliance works at all industries, and then we're finding out how they work in health. So let me just talk you through really quickly. The nurse has finished her consultation with Joe. She's going to send to another clinician. So she puts the keyboard back on. It becomes a laptop rather than a tablet. She opens up an email and is going to send an email with an attachment. So it's kind of a document with some patient education. Who uses Outlook as part of their day? Just to do their life, their job. Forget the clinicians, forget everything else. This is going to make you smile. It makes me smile every single time I use it. If I click on attachments in Outlook 2016, I get a list of the last things I've done anywhere on my machine. Because that's what happens. You create a thing, and then you think, I'm going to send that thing. In virtually all workflows, that's kind of how humans go. I do a thing, I then got to share that thing. This is a really nice solution to make, it saves me minutes every day, and I promise you, when you get 2016, it'll make you smile. So she's gonna choose that attachment. Really quickly, gonna send an email to the other physician outside of her organization who's part of her virtual care team. You can see there's a little warning at the top. Following the recipient is outside your org. So is the patient that she's just added on the CC line. And then she's gonna start doing stuff which should scare everybody in this audience. My patient Joe attached, has some questions. And then she starts to add patient identification numbers. And as soon as she does that, there is a policy running in Office 365, data loss protection, at the top. This message can't be sent because it appears to contain sensitive information. You define those policies, you create them. They could be credit in other industries, they're credit card numbers, SSNs, things like that. In health, it's kind of obvious what some of them are. It's not gonna get everything. It's certainly not gonna stop a deliberate information breach. If I was trying to share, I'll just take a photo and email it to someone. But it is gonna stop accidental sharing of information, which is one of the serious problems that we are all trying to deal with. I had to deal with it with my doctors and nurses. We were in a much less regulated world 15 years ago, but it was still problematic when they were all sending stuff over SMTP and Yahoo email and all those sort of things. You guys have got a much harder job to deal with. Won't solve everything, but it will really help you start to think about how do I reduce the risk of these things happening. So I'm just going to, because we are we only had half the time. I do want to be really clear, Microsoft is not a healthcare company. We are really interested in healthcare. We are building solutions that we know are relevant for healthcare, but no one buys our stuff just and does nothing else with it. We are completely dependent on a bunch of our organizations and partners, most of whom you recognize here, who are all doing interesting new things. We would love to work with you and them as you start to do stuff around mobility, around clinical productivity, around business intelligence, and starting to really get some data and information out of the organizations you're working with. Give us a shout. I'll do the typical end of Microsoft slide, microsoft.com/health. If you do something interesting and cool that you want to shout about, please give me a shout. We'd love to help promote, because it's one thing about healthcare is everyone always wants to kind of A, be promoted, but B, kind of help drive the industry forward. If you can use us as a vehicle to do that, we'd be really keen to help. So 2 minutes over, sorry. But half the time I was supposed to have. So any questions, disagreements? I like a disagreement. What are you doing with mobility? Who's doing iPads across the organization? Or who's doing iPads in any way? And again, I'm not gonna be, iPads have done brilliant things for health. They have really opened up clinicians' minds to the fact that mobility can do great stuff. I'm not absolutely, we're a whole new world in this place. We actually think that iPads seem to be able to get so far. And then it's really interesting. If you look at HIMSS this year, 3 years ago, HIMSS was mobility everywhere. Every ISV, every developer, everyone on the show floor was, we've got a mobile thing. This year, there was none of it. It was all about analytics and intelligence and predictive and all this stuff, very little. And my worry is healthcare has kind of tried mobility again, because it tries it every 5 years, and sort of failed a little bit again, and maybe some of the confidence that physicians and nurses have had or were hoping to have has gone. We need to really work to try and make sure that whether it's iPad, because we can help you with that stuff as well, whether it's Windows devices, whatever they're going to do, that we do it in a cognizant and an aware way to really drive real clinical benefit. And then mobility, I think, will take off. So we had some iPads. Any other questions? Any disagreements? You're all very quiet.
Well, I mean, our experience with clinicians has been that they used to want everything mobile enabled.
Yeah.
Now they have a three-prong request every time they want a widget, right? They want it mobile enabled.
Yeah.
They want it to have secure messaging integrated with
yeah.
it. And they want it bidirectionally interoperable with medical records.
With the big thing.
With
yeah.
the big thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And that sort of ends up being, you know, the most difficult part of it.
Agreed. Can I, in the session before, Joe showed you Continuum on the phone, where you plug that phone into a little docking station, and suddenly you've got a desktop. A year ago, every executive customer we had from healthcare come here said, for nurses, we want an 8-inch tablet. A year ago, that changed completely, and they all said, we want a phone. We don't actually want a phone. We want to buy loads of phones for our nurses. We want to put on Wi-Fi only, no cellular. We want it for secure messaging. We want it for barcodes and kind of the workflows that make sense for a phone. And then they regularly said, but we also know that nurses have to do big work as well sometimes. I have to say the Continuum thing that Joe showed you earlier is starting to look really interesting in healthcare because, A, yeah, it's a phone and you're going to be able to buy accessories like barcode readers from third parties and all those sort of things. But think about what most clinical systems are delivered in. They're often delivered across a browser. Okay, cool. That works really well when you dock it and you get your browser on your big screen and your 27-inch screen, your keyboard and your mouse. That ability to have something local and sensible for barcode workflows and simple lookup and small data entry, and then go to the nurse station at the end, plug it into the docking station, have keyboard and mouse and do the rest of your job, suddenly starts to feel like that might be a really interesting space. Does that make sense? Flaws in that plan? Does that, if your clinical systems or business systems that you use across your organizations worked in that world, would that be valuable to you guys? Because we're trying to work out where we spend our money building and testing stuff. Is that a useful thing? Do your nurses want phones? Do you want tablets? What do you want to do for those guys?
So,
go on.
So Dr. Keefe recently dropped that Surface 3.
Yeah. Agreed.
It's not a phone or a desktop or
yeah.
a laptop
yeah.
that you can carry around.
Yep.
It's any of those things when he needs it to be. So he does a lot of Dragon.
Yeah.
He's amazing at Dragon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he can go 100 miles an hour, all the medical words, but the good news is nothing else sounds like amoxicillin.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
But it's the flexibility. And so I think that to me is the key, is that it's not going to be the Swiss Army knife computer that does everything for everyone, every place.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah, no, I agree. That portfolio thing is a really interesting concept. The trouble is, there's kind of this concept, and it was striking the difference a year ago to now, what customers are saying, particularly for nurses. They were all on small tablets. They didn't want surfaces, they were too big. They wanted a small tablet. It's almost binary. In the last year, they have all changed that. Our nurses are telling us they want phones for everything. Yeah, it's just a logistical portability, price of device thing as well, actually. Phones can be cheap. Often not in healthcare because they wrap them and case them and all that stuff and it costs you $1,200, but sorry.
What's interesting, I've actually had experience in all three different industries.
So okay, cool.
I was a vendor at two large software companies and doing medical software, worked in a hospital for in clinical labs.
Okay.
And now I'm on the financial side.
Okay.
And run healthcare data, HSAs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, and my wife's seen it where they do walk, and it's interesting. They had two of their devices go up on eBay the other day, it's even though this is easy, I think to just walk just like anything else.
Yep.
It's going to be interesting to see how the compliance, the regulators, and the mindset
agreed.
Change and go to smaller because, to my mind, there's no difference. But on the physician side and the medical side, a lot of the folks will. say, like you said, I don't care what the device is. I just want to be able to treat the day in the life of the patient.
Yeah.
My whole workflow from beginning to end, each time I see a patient XYZ.
Yeah.
You know, kind of do that on any screen, responsive design, that type of thing. They don't really care what the device is.
Agreed.
They just want to be able to take it anywhere and everywhere and use it. It's that integration with the EMR that's the part. And that's usually where I think those interviews, those opinions, sitting down, like you said, physicians or meeting with everyone, getting that integration right in day one is the most important part.
Agreed.
To get that buy-in.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean, another use case that we're trying to solve for is in some of the markets we're in, we've got specialists like cardiologists that do consults at multiple facilities that are geographically far apart from one another. And right now, due to some of the limitations we've got, you've got guys trying to review a study remotely and the connectivity doesn't work right, and so they physically have to be at that facility in order to do reviews and stuff, and they want to be able to do remote consulting. And so it drives up the efficiency level of specialists like cardiologists if they can review all of this stuff from their living room or wherever the heck they are.
Yeah.
And it makes them a lot happier, but they want that right back from whatever UI they're using back into the EHR, and that ends up being difficult in some cases.
Go ahead, please.
A lot of the partners that you had, Cerner, Epic, when they develop these next generation applications that you're showing, is it all hosted in the Azure or is it inside there?
Great question. Yes and no. In some cases, some of them are. In some cases, some of them aren't.
So do you see these companies, if they are forward-looking, are they taking a bold step to convince their providers' offices to say, look, the data is as secure or better in the wherever it is as opposed to the physical data center next to your office, right? I think that is what I see in the payer industry.
Yeah.
Anything outside.
So yeah, agreed.
If they are going to pursue a lot of their customers, the providers' offices, maybe in the next 5 years, people are going to change their way of doing business and say, as long as somebody like Apple or Google or Microsoft can secure the data and the government agencies are going to approve that, I think there is a huge opportunity.
Yeah, we agree.
Take out the inefficiency in healthcare.
Yeah,
and
we agree. Yeah, we agree, and we are working with all of our clinical system partners, all the people, and I won't speak on behalf of Stanley, he might want to say something, he may not, around moving as much of their stuff to Azure as possible. We'll sign HIPAA BAAs, we'll do all that sort of stuff. No one is going to say that anything is 100% secure. The stuff you do locally is not 100% secure. The stuff we do in Azure is not 100%. We're pretty confident, and generally proving it, that it's more secure because just the scale and the of what we're having to do. But it's not, the world isn't jumping now. They are certainly moving, and our partners are moving in that direction. We're seeing an interesting trend where organizations that are often US-based are now trying to sell internationally. That starts to get really interesting, because then they're in the position of potentially having to think about building data centers in each country. Funnily enough, they would much rather we built data centers in each country and that they just use them. That's starting to have an influence back this way as well. But it's that's going to take some time. Go on.
Yeah, you're totally right. What you're saying is that other than the United States, I think the market's moving very fast. I think EU is much faster.
In some parts of it. Apart from Germany. Just Germany. Do you want to comment? You don't have to, Stanley.
I'm curious about your guys' perspective. I'm with Allscripts. We build EHR thing. So meaningful use stage 3 requirements just came out 2 weeks ago. 460 or 480 pages of thou shalt and thou shalt not. I really, really wish that Moses had written them on clay tablets where he had to chisel them. I'm sorry, the government just gave us a laundry list, a phone book.
like this is Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right?
Yeah.
The government's asking for self-actualization, and we haven't got safety and security tied down. I mean, we don't have doctors sending text messages with PHI in it to each other. That's never happened before. Wait.
Yeah.
Happens every day. And we've got to solve for that collaboration and keeping, you know, keeping things from getting where they don't go at the same time as trying to do all that stuff CMS-wise.
If you haven't, go look up the 18 things that make a PHI. It's hilarious. IP address.
Wow, really?
You cannot include the patient's IP address. Who has a staff address?
Yeah, exactly.
And even if you did, who would know it? And then even if I told you what my static IP address is, that doesn't tell you who I am.
No.
License number.
Yeah.
Yeah, every doctor says, the patient with Georgia license plate number.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the way most doctors.
In my salesman mode, what we would say is, yes, all of these guys have got incredibly hard things to do over the next, let's say year, but let's be honest, 10 years. We think that they would be better doing that and not worrying about the infrastructure that they do it on. But I also know it's not like you literally just pick this thing up and just chuck it over. It's not that simple. I get it. But we are having very positive conversations with a bunch of these guys around getting them off premises or on premises, but it's going to take time. It's going to take a while. We were supposed to finish 15 minutes ago. If you're happy, I'm happy to keep talking, but if anyone's recording this, I'd like them to know I finished at 3. Any other questions, disagreements? Please give us a shout. You know the Microsoft person that brought you here. If you have interesting thoughts around what Microsoft should be doing in healthcare, I'm not going to commit that we'll listen, but give us a shout. You never know. Sometimes there's a little bit of void of, the product teams are still learning, they're still thinking about what healthcare should look like and what we should do for healthcare. Please give us a shout, you never know. Cool, thank you everybody.
Thank you.
Have a good rest of your day.